in KHSU's Del Norte studio for the KHSU magazine by Susan Andrews, school psychologist for the Del Norte County Unified School District.
Thanks to everyone who contributed to the KHSU magazine today. Thanks to my guests from Mamuse and the Fula Brothers. They'll be playing at the Arcata Playhouse on Thursday, this Thursday evening. Go to arcataplayhouse.org for more information. Donors to KHSU include Six Rivers Optical, offering a large selection of eyewear, sunglasses, and contact lenses. Same-day service is available for prescriptions in stock. Six Rivers Optical, celebrating over 36 years of keeping life in focus. Open Monday through Saturday on Harrison Avenue next to Lima's Pharmacy in Eureka. Info at sixriversoptical.com. Stay tuned for Art Waves with Wendy Butler and have a great week.
Thank you for spending your Tuesday, the 7th of November, with KHSU and with Art Waves. I'm Wendy Butler. Today, one interview covering three exhibits with reference to a fourth. And we do draw a connection between all of them later in the program. My guests are Britt Sheldon, Humboldt State University Art Department Gallery Director. She oversees both the Gooditni Native American Arts Gallery and the Reese Bowling Gallery, both of which are opening new exhibits. Also here is Brittany Britton, Gallery Assistant for the Art Department. And Brittany is also featured in a new show opening at Piante Gallery in Eureka. We'll start with the Gooditni Gallery. My guests have co-curated this exhibit, which is titled Lineage, Living Traditions of Line, Shape, and Design. It opens with a reception today at 4:30 p.m. The exhibit will be on display until Friday, December 8th. Brittany Britton responds first to my first question. What I'm discovering with this is its artwork featured alongside or even to a certain extent embedded in historical objects. Let me use this as an example. This is the putting the pieces back together and by Analia Hillman, created this year. And what I'm looking at, it looks like pieces of a basket and then right going through the center is a sort of a graphic, colorful design going through the center of it. So it's intriguing because it's historical objects and it's also, you know, current art just created. And so what's the concept behind partnering these objects and the art?
Yeah, so the piece that Analia submitted for the show really melds together what we were bringing together as the concept for the show, where it's this living tradition of line, shape, and design that we have here on the North Coast with an indigenous culture. You see it throughout like older artwork, like basketry and carvings and things like that. And all of that is in the culture and in like the air around us in a way. And as artists, we take that into our studio and it comes out in our artwork in very different ways. And Analia's piece really does demonstrate this connection between like this historic cultural item to something that's more contemporary that she's making here in the now.
And the through line here is the patterns. So, I mean, we're sort of looking at all the objects as art objects, depending on the terminology that you want to use. So there's some baskets and they're canoe paddles.
Acorn paddles.
Sorry, acorn paddles. So they're all, and they all incorporate these shared designs.
Analia's piece, am I right in calling it a basket or parts of a basket?
Yeah, the story that she told us behind the piece is that she had this storage basket in her family, but it had been damaged throughout time, and it wasn't able to be repaired, so she's repurposing parts of this basket in her work. The pieces are are plain stick and root. There's no design work necessarily on the pieces that she is using, but I think she's using that form to kind of solidify that this painting is talking about design work, and she brought the design work back into the basket in a way by having that boldness in the center of the canvas.
And you said that this is a basket that is hers? It's part
yes.
of her family?
Yeah, this was a basket that she's inherited, is what it sounds like.
And it's interesting, when I look at the image, I imagine that it's rather large, but then I'm looking at the dimensions, 18 inches by 24 inches?
Yeah, it's not a large piece, but it has so much in it. And for her future studio practices, she had said that she'll be using more parts of the basket. So she's repurposing it and giving it this like second life in a way.
And what are one or two other works that we're going to see in the Gooditni show? Britt?
There's a column at the entrance of the gallery that Bob Benson just brought to us the other day. It's a stack of stools. So that's going to be welcoming the audience into the gallery space.
Yeah, and we're also really excited. We'll be having two of Almy Allen's concrete stools as well that will talk to Bob Benson's piece that is referencing the stool form in a way. Whereas Almy's are this utilitarian, contemporary look at old-time carved stools. He had briefly told me a story about the concrete stools where he had taken a mold of an original stool that I think is at the Yurok Visitor Center. And it would have been great if we could have gotten that alongside these pieces so that we could see the original stool that he had taken the form and shape of and translated into concrete, into this like more durable, extremely utilitarian material. Originally, they were carved out of redwood. So, yeah.
And I'm going back to the Bob Benson. Tell me again, Britt, you said he's bringing in, is it stools that look like a column of stools? Is that what you said?
It doesn't look like a column of stools, but if you look closely, you can see that there's stacked separate pieces. And he's got a really nice variation in the color of the wood. And it also sort of works really well with the gallery space because we have a wood floor in the gallery. So It's a really nice contribution to the overall show.
And this was something that he created for the show, or are these...
It sounds like it's something that he's been working on in his studio practice, working with wood carving and utilizing like those kind of familiar forms of stool shapes, of like ladder shapes from houses and things like that, and moving it into his more sculptural work.
Now, this is different from the work we were talking about just a couple of minutes ago by Analia Hillman, I think. And correct me if I'm wrong, because Analia's incorporated the basketry as well as a design mm-hmm. That she has recently created, whereas say Bob Benson's is it doesn't incorporate to like a utilitarian and also a piece of visual art as well.
I mean, I guess you might say that it's transforming something that's functional into something mm-hmm. that's an art piece proper, because when you stack the stools, you can no longer sit on them.
I guess you can attempt it, but that's true. They
yeah.
become a work that you view rather than a work that you use, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's having this rhythm of shape. The stools are more hourglass in shape. And just seeing them there gives... It has this extreme bodily appearance, or not bodily, like bodily experience, I think. Standing next to it, it's taller than I am. I'm just very excited about that piece. I've been loving living with it in the gallery recently.
Well, and we did just receive a really beautiful dance dress
Yeah, Marlette Grant Jackson, who works here on campus, loaned us her daughter's dance dress that she had made for, I think it was for her coming of age ceremony. And the apron of the dress has a very striking, like, pointed design in braided bear grass. And it is a common thing among dance dresses to have this, like, extreme design work that you could kind of see from afar, but has this really intense intricacy of handiwork that went into it. So there is, like, bold design work happening on the dress. And I'm really liking that we have this broad range of, like, painting, of carving, of traditional weaving, and then also, like, a contemporary dress made in a very traditional way that carries this heavy design work in it.
And given that you're calling the exhibit Lineage, Living Traditions of Line, Shape, and Design, perhaps one or both of you could further, before we move on and talk about the Reese Bullen Gallery show that's opening, perhaps both of you can speak to the reason for the title of this exhibit and the role shape and design play in Northwest California indigenous culture.
I feel like it's something that is always there. Like it's just something that is in the background around the tribes in the area. It's on the signs. It's on letterhead. The design work, I think, in a lot of ways, I think I, for one, like, forget that it's there, I think, sometimes, because it's so ubiquitous. And then it kind of filters into the work that I'm making. But each design has its own meaning and its own language in a way, even amongst the different tribes. Like, our design work is similar at a glance, but there is extreme nuance between, like, Karuk, Yurok, Hupa, Wiyot design work. And that comes from this, like, past historical time in a way, where, like, the design work was used primarily on basketry or more, like, ceremonial items. And it's been kind of translated and extrapolated into our studios and into our everyday lives. It's this living tradition, like, that we've inherited. It's a fantastic thing.
And I think it's interesting to see how different artists are, like, contemporary practicing artists like Brittany are using designs. And, like, we have Brian Tripp's one piece by Brian Tripp in the show. And then we also have Lynn Risling and Julian Lang, for instance. And they're each taking those shared designs and then using them in a variety of ways within their work. So it's also interesting to see that individuality come out in the work.
Britt Sheldon, HSU Art Department Gallery Director. Also here is Gallery Assistant Brittany Britton. The topic today, the opening of new exhibits on and off campus. And you're listening to Art Waves on KHSU. I'm Wendy Butler. Let's move on to the Reese Bullen Gallery, an exhibition showcasing the Humboldt State University Permanent Art Collection. And that is opening with a reception on Tuesday, November 14th at 4:30 p.m. And that show will run through December 8th. And so, Britt, you want to begin and talk about some of the pieces we're going to be treated to for this exhibit?
Well, this exhibit is an opportunity for us to showcase some of the variety that we have in our permanent art collection, which is housed in the art building. And so we do have this storage space where we have racks and paintings and drawings are sitting in there and nobody ever gets to see them. So we also have 5 boxes of works on paper. So a lot of print, mostly just various types of prints, some photographs, and, you know, nobody, we didn't even really, they're just sitting in a cupboard. So it was an opportunity for us to get some of those pieces framed as part of an exhibition project. So we chose, working with my intern Daisy, we chose 28 pieces and sent them out to be framed. We're getting back the second half of them tomorrow, hopefully. They're planned to be back tomorrow. And then we have our gallery, museum and gallery practices class in the art department, and they're involved with this. They're going to help us design the show and choose the final selection of pieces that will be put into the gallery and sort of help me figure out, help me to design the show as part of their learning experience. We also have a couple of kind of interesting collections of 3D work. There was a couple, the Jensens, who I guess were very well traveled and donated a large number of objects from northern Nigeria and also from Japan. So we're going to have a variety of objects that they purchased in markets in northern Nigeria when they were in the 1960s, and also some fans and umbrellas that they also got in Japan. And we're going to have all of that together in the gallery space, along with two really neat pots made by Reese Bullen himself.
Now, you were saying, Britt, that you discovered like a lot of this was in cupboards, put away, like the works on paper. What did you discover as you were? And well, first of all, Brittany, you didn't have anything really to do with the Reese Bullen, or did you also assist with it?
I've made a few selections from the racks, but the majority of the work has been done by Britt and the student assistants and interns.
And so, what did you discover as you were looking through? Like, was surprising, like, you know, wonderfully surprising that you didn't know Humboldt State University had. And that you wanted to make sure and bring out and display.
I've just been really pleased with the variety. There's some duplicates of things that are other places on campus I've now noticed. I should say I'm fairly new here. I just started in August this year, so that's why I'm still learning. And Brittany is going to be this is all a collaborative process, so she'll be helping with it ongoing. But for instance, we have some pop art. I'm a fan of pop art, so we're going to include. We have some pieces included in that. We found a couple of. We have some Mel Ramos pieces in our collection, so we'll be putting out probably two of those, and just some really nice, kind of abstract. We have a variety. A lot of the things we chose were things we were calling Americana. So cityscapes as well as sort of rural scenes and a series of diner images that are all prints.
We also have a range of photographic prints from Swanland Baker collection and Palmquist collection that I'm used to seeing over at the library. So it's been nice for us to have that present in the art department. So scenes taken from around the county, more local.
And then some of this, or perhaps most of it, it has not been seen before, or quite a bit of it has not been, or perhaps for many, many years locally?
Well, Brittany was here as a student, so sometimes she has this institutional knowledge about what's been up in the past. We have had collection shows in the past.
Right,
Yeah, it's been nice to look back. In our prep room, we have a wall covered in past exhibition postcards. So it's been really nice having that as kind of our institutional filing system almost of like, oh, this is the last time a permanent collection show has happened. So maybe it's been 8 to 10 years since the last permanent collection show.
It seems likely. And the things that are getting framed, though, some of that we haven't seen, but people haven't had an opportunity to see it before. And the nice thing about this show is that, you know, we have, you know, so much work already out on campus, in the library, in the president's office, these kinds of places where people have meetings and they get to see the work outside of the gallery context. We have a new dean and she needs art in her office. So, you know, instead of sending them PDFs, of, you know, with image, small images of the pieces, they can come see what we have in person. So I'd like to get more of the art out into these offices, maybe change some things that are there. This is a good opportunity to make that happen.
And at the same time that these exhibits are happening, the one in the Gudetni and the one in the Reese Bullen, Brittany, you are also exhibiting with Brian Tripp and also with Bob Benson at Piante in Eureka. You were also involved with Cindy Hooper and many other people as well, but the two of you I interviewed, you were two key persons putting together the Native American Basket Collection for display at College of the Redwoods, and that reception is happening this coming Wednesday, November 8th at 3 p.m. In the Administration Student Services Building. So you've been busy getting that together. And then when we talked with Cindy, you were also putting together your own work for what they hold, what they carry at Piante. And so let's just spend a couple of minutes to talk about how this has gone for you, putting this together. What's a highlight of this experience for you?
It's been a fantastic experience to make a new body of work since I graduated from my MFA program. I definitely had this postgraduate lull in my studio practice. So Sue had approached me asking if I wanted to be in a show at Piante, and that was a fantastic honor. And she brought up potentially showing with Brian, and this was months ago at this point, and I was elated at having the chance to show with Brian Tripp. In this kind of old school, new school kind of status of Brian being this kind of heavy hitter in the local, like, Native American art community, or even just like the local art community in general. His art is kind of everywhere, and it was doing a lot of things since the 70s, since the 60s and 70s. And so I made a new work for the show. One of the pieces that's in the show is a loom beaded lawn chair. it was a labor of love.
A loom beaded lawn chair.
So I beaded each of the webbings that make up the seat of the lawn chair, the seat in the back of the lawn chair. The chair is actually a replica of a chair that my great-grandmother would carry with her at the local ceremonies. She was our medicine woman. And so to me, it's this like spiritual object in a way, like a church pew would be maybe for other people who attend churches. It has that level of spiritualness even in it, even though it's just this utilitarian lawn chair, like this banal object in a way. I am highly satisfied with how it turned out, and I'm very excited to see it under proper lighting and out of my studio.
I have to ask you about one more. And then I have a final thing that I think we can pull, believe it or not, we can draw all of this together. We can sum it all up. We can gather together. You have a ceremonial shawl recreated using a metallic-looking emergency blanket.
The shawl itself is a dance shawl used more in powwow kind of dances. It was an inherited object from my cousin Gerald, who had lived in the city and had kind of experienced this pan-Native culture down in San Francisco in a way, so that he didn't have access to like hoopa dances and ceremonies necessarily, and that was the community that he got into when he was down there. I don't know if he danced with it. I'm not familiar necessarily with powwow culture. I've been to powwows, but that shawl was my cousin's, and it's one of the only things I have left of him. And so I made a copy of it. I'm really into making copies of my family's things. I recently moved home, so now I have all these things I can make copies of. So I had made a copy of it using an emergency blanket, so that really shiny, crinkly material. And then it's backed with wool fabric, and it has matching tassels on the bottom for the kind of swishiness of it. And it, in contrast to the inherited shawl, makes this wonderful racket. It, like, think about like how emergency blankets sound. They are loud. There's no way to be quiet in that. And it has this very different presence than the one that my cousin owned.
And so with the numbers of exhibits going on, and in addition, and I'm including what's happening at College of the Redwoods as well, I think that, because when I was listening to both of you speaking about these different shows, I'm thinking a sense of place, but a multicultural sense of place. The Gooditni is very different than a lot of the pieces that we're going to find at the Reese Bullen, but not because it's a sense of place. I'd like the two of you to speak about that before we stop.
I agree with that. I would say that the sense of place at Gooditni is highly highly localized in terms of maybe the borders that we would draw around what we think of as Northwest California in a way. And we're seeing this, like, just drawing this boundary around this space and saying, what is contained within this? Whereas I think I would say that the permanent collection show, it kind of ticks off the boxes of student work that was purchased while it was made here in the county, because we had the Presidential Purchase Award, and it was work made by students while they were here at HSU. So it's highly informed by their time here, in addition to people who had donated work who had potentially lived in the county for years, similar to the Alice Benis collection at CR, like people donating these works to these institutions so that they can be shown. And this is an opportunity for that.
And in the Reese Bullen, one thing that I've been thinking about is the connection between form and function, which is how I was thinking of there being a connection between that show and the Gudini show. So when we're looking at a lot of the objects from Japan and Nigeria, they're sort of what you might call tourist art. They were purchased in these markets by people who were doing traveling. That's how I imagine them, as people, you know, they're traveling in these places. And so one, we're going to have a significant representation of carved, decorated calabash bowls. So these are objects. Calabash bowls are highly functional objects, but they're also decorated with designs. So so you're looking at those next to objects that are made specifically for display. But oftentimes these carved calabash bowls are made for people to purchase, and they are often also displayed. So it's sort of this through line also in that context. And so that was the connection that I was thinking about. I started to notice. And you also have sort of, when you look at the postcard that'll be coming out soon, you do have also connections we're making in some of the different pieces that'll come out in the design of the show itself. When we juxtapose objects next to each other that will have sort of complementarity of design and color and things like this.
Britt Sheldon, HSU Art Department Gallery Director. And you also heard from gallery assistant Brittany Britton, whose artwork is currently featured in a show titled What They Hold, What They Carry. Now at Piante Gallery in Eureka. The other two exhibits we discussed are both at HSU. Lineage, Living Traditions of Line, Shape, and Design opens this afternoon at the Gudini Native American Arts Gallery with a reception from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. The exhibit will be on display until Friday, December 8th. The gallery is on the ground floor of the HSU Behavioral and Social Sciences Building. For more information, you can phone the gallery office at 826-5814 or 826-3629. And the Permanent Art Collection Highlights exhibition at the Reese Bullen Gallery opens with a reception on Tuesday, November 14th, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. And the exhibit will run through December 8th. The gallery is in the art building. For more information, you can contact the gallery office at 826-5814. That's Art Waves for today. Join me for the next regular broadcast Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. You can listen anytime online at khsu.org. You can download podcasts of the program from iTunes. I'm Wendy Butler. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Tommy Flanagan, elegant, magisterial, a master of the art called jazz. Listen to the best. Listen to Gone Sides. Tuesday nights from 8 to 10 right here on KHSU, your jazz station.
A electrodes were attached to their arms, chest, their heart.
Radiolab, it's not just for your ears.
Your torso will stay alive.
Yep, it's a full body experience.
And it just gripped me.
You're suspended.
Oh my God.
Kick it.
Puts all these feathers on his body and climbs up to the top of a mountain.
The smell doesn't bother you guys?
What smell?
Tuesday evenings, beginning at 7 here on KHSU.